very, very glad that you have joined us at Our Savior. We're here to worship, but you know what? I'm looking forward to sitting out on my back porch with my rocking chair, enjoying God's handiwork before me.
Amen.
I think we're going to be blessed with a beautiful sunny day today. We hope all are well. We are only a phone call away. We include all of Port Huron, all of Michigan, the United States, the world, in holding everybody up in prayer as we walk through this journey together. So with that, we're not going to ask you if you have your pajamas on or if you're dressed, but open up your minds and your ears and your eyes. Let's worship
Mother
God.
Praying, Father too, on bended knee. The sun is sinking, shadows falling, but their prayers still follow me. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred sayings unfold. Precious memories fill my soul.
And as Cheryl has welcomed you, so may I, Pastor Don, our Savior Lutheran, with special guest preacher of this day. And he is no stranger to us. He will be here and you all know him. And he will be here in a little bit. We'll introduce him officially at that time. Radio broadcast this day is sponsored by Kay and Bill Price. It is their 54th anniversary of Wedded Bliss. And they actually celebrated it on the 25th, this being the 28th. They probably are hungover. No, they wouldn't be hungover. They're probably visiting kids, grandkids, and all sorts of people. So Kay and Bill, congratulations from your family here at Our Savior. And thank you for your sponsorship of this radio broadcast. As we gather here this day, we will have three people we remember in our prayers. We'll cite them at the time of prayers. Otherwise, we begin with our entrance hymn, We Gather Together.
Oh,
As we have gathered together, we come before our God to be honest about our status in life. With all the issues and sins of the peoples of America brought forward through protests and through introspection, we realize we have much, much to confess. So join us in the confession. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation.
Amen. Amen.
Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin. Reconciling God, we confess
that we do not trust your abundance, and we deny your presence in our lives. We place our hope in ourselves and rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all. We abuse your good creation for our own benefit. We fear difference, and we do not welcome others as you have welcomed us. We sin in thought, word, and deed. By your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us. And in your spirit, lead us. So that we may live and serve you in newness of life.
Amen.
Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven, so let us live now in hope. For hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Are we going to do the hymn? That
Are we going to do the hymn of praise?
Absolutely. I skipped it, didn't I?
Yeah, because you normally give me enough time to.
PD's getting carried away again.
I'm being moved by the Spirit. Okay.
Obviously.
Oh, hymn of praise, please. Let all mortal flesh keep silent. Appropriate song title. I will be silent.
Thank you.
that particular version catches my memories. If you've been in Europe, you've been in the large cathedrals, you know that this version was not recorded in some studio or in some little church in America. It is done in large stone interior of a cathedral. And that resounding tonal quality is just awesome. And the overlay is just wonderful. So, hymn of praise and hope, if you'll take us.
Oh God, you direct our lives by grace, and your words of justice and mercy reshape the world. Mold us into a people who welcome your word in service one another. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
First reading comes from Jeremiah chapter 28, selected verses. The prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words that you have prophesied and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. But listen now to the word that I speak for your hearing and in the hearing of all people. The prophets who precede you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes true, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet."
Thanks.
Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Don't step on my toes,
just like
Hope.
Your dad. You just got to get ahead of everything.
Do we have special music, or can I continue?
No, there is none.
There is no special music.
Are on vacation. I have.
They're taking a hiatus for right now.
And I have Iris Cook's CDs that I'll be using in the interlude after this week.
All right, we'll continue with the psalm. Psalm 89, selected verses, and the antiphon is, "Your love, O Lord, forever will I sing. Your love, O Lord, forever will I sing. From age to age, my mouth will proclaim your faithfulness.
For I am persuaded that your steadfast love is established forever. You have set your faithfulness firmly in the heavens.
I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn an oath to David, my servant.
I will establish your line forever and preserve your throne for all generations. Your love, O Lord, forever will I sing.
Happy are the people who know the festival shout. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your presence.
They rejoice daily in your name. They are jubilant in your righteousness.
For you are the glory of their strength, and by your favor our might is exalted.
Truly, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King to the Holy One of Israel. Your love, O Lord, forever will I sing.
Our second lesson comes from Romans chapter 6. Do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for salvation, or sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Word of life, word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. This morning's gospel.
This is Scott Pike.
All right. This morning's gospel will come from the book of Matthew, chapter 10, beginning with verse 40.
Glory to you, O Lord. Glory.
Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes the prophet in the name of the prophet will receive the prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes the righteous person in the name of the righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup to one of these little ones, in the name of the disciple, I truly tell you, none of these will lose their reward. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you, Scott, for being with us again. Third time during these weeks.
Yeah, he's going to shut up now.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome to this fourth Sunday after Pentecost. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in Michigan, we take our sunny days seriously. Michiganders, we never put our jackets away. We know all too well that at any moment the weather can change quicker than my wife can change her mind. So a couple of weekends ago, I was outside basking in the sunshine and the warm, well, rather hot weather. I decided, like so many of my neighbors, that it was the perfect day to wash my truck. So there I am, I'm washing and polishing. I'm soaking up the sun, getting a suntan or sunburn. I'm rocking out to the classic 70s. I'm listening to Lynyrd Skynyrd, Billy Joel, Queen, Journey, etc. Well, in the midst of this summer nirvana, I started looking around. I started to take stock in my house, my cars, my camper, my Harley Davidson in the garage. And I began thinking to myself, what a great life I have. I kept on this train of thought. I started thinking, wow, I have a wonderful family, wife, children, I've had a great upbringing. I even have great pets. So while I was there, my chest started swelling up. My pride and my ego were inflating to probably dangerous levels. God clearly decided it was time to put me in check. So as I was standing there feeling full of myself, I was instantly hit with this thought. So here I am with this wonderful life and all these material things and gifts, and I just couldn't help but think, why am I blessed with so much? And yet there are so many in this world that don't even have the most basic needs and necessities in life, much less comfort. And even more personally challenging, the thought was, with all this, why do I still covet and desire more material things and more wealth? To this point, I'd been working on various ideas for today's sermon. And as a rookie minister, I like to fashion my words in my sermon around the gospel lesson for the day. Nothing was really seeming to form in my mind, at least until that day. And it was like God had struck me straight between the eyes. He said, how about what you're feeling right now? Does that seem to fit today's gospel? What I was feeling and contemplating and was directing me straight to the instructions Jesus gave to his disciples. Now we know from earlier passages in the same gospel lesson that Jesus was preparing his disciples to go out into the world and to spread the good news. He wanted them prepared for the hardships, the disbelief, the outright hostility that was ahead of them. Besides looking out for just their physical well-being, he wanted them to be very aware of their own behaviors and desires while they carried out this mission. He also instructed them, stay out of the safe areas where believers might congregate, but instead go to those places that were uncomfortable and very likely unsafe and dangerous. Furthermore, he told them, when you go to these places and you spread the word, you're not to accept payment for your actions. In today's gospel from Matthew 10, 40 through 42, Jesus instructs the disciples about respect, treatment, and honor of others. He starts with himself at the top, working his way down. Now, the way I see this text is Jesus is directing us in the manner in which we treat, honor, and care for one another. It is as equally as important to the greatest, the Father and our Lord, all the way down to the drink of water to a small child. He also relates in the most simple lesson, how we treat someone else will result in the behavior we can and should expect in return. Now, getting back to my original quandary, the question of inequality in life, and why me? Now, being a typical 21st century tech guy, I thought it'd be a really good idea to share my thoughts on Facebook. Is it ever really a good idea to share your thoughts on Facebook? So immediately my friends, of course my friends, started to offer me their services to relieve me of some of my possessions to ease my guilt. Now my friends, well-meaning as they were, and greedy, they misunderstood. I wasn't really feeling guilty about my blessings and my gifts. My question was more to the point, am I being a good steward with the gifts, and more importantly, am I being selfish, hoarding my possessions, my wealth, such as it is, and my time? Am I carrying out the instructions Jesus had given to the disciples? Now, in that instruction, there is a reward implied. By recognizing the values of others, we reap the benefit of their uniqueness. By acknowledging Jesus, we are brought into the presence of our Heavenly Father. By acknowledgement of the prophet, we receive their gift of knowledge. By association with righteous people, we become better and more ethical and moral people. Finally, in giving a child a drink, we are living out the greatest commandment of all, to love one another as Jesus has loved us. But to simply surround ourselves with godly, righteous, knowledgeable, and needy people does not raise us to a higher status with God or ensure us a safe and secure life. On the contrary, if we strive to be like Christ, as impossible as that may be, we will continually venture into those scary, uncertain, and hazardous areas. As our good works will become an outcome of our faith and our desire to strive to be like our Savior. I imagine that most people today, like myself, have in some way anxious feelings about the world we currently live in. I certainly doubt it's just me, but I see our world in a complete state of chaos. You can't turn on the news, read a newspaper, that is if people still read newspapers. Social media, without being completely bombarded with the vile, ranting, raving, violent and destructive protests, hate and threats, wars and rumors of wars. Now, if that last part seems a little bit familiar, you might look into Revelation. It seems mankind has become so self-centered, driven to satisfy one's own desires and wants, that we now refuse to listen or be inconvenienced by others' opinions. We can no longer live among each other in peace. We have become tribal. We are breaking down into smaller groups of people who think and act like us. That is until those differences in that tribe again begin to surface and we fracture even more. Throughout history, the world we know that war, hatred, pandemics, and social divide are nothing new. The difference in our generation is the speed at which information travels and is repeated over and over again. It's time we need to go back to our Bibles. We need to seek out what God, Jesus, and the disciples and the prophets have taught us. What are our priorities? How do we care for one another? If we are truly to follow the principles as outlined in Matthew 10, then we will take up the company of those that are most in need. Many times those populations are not particularly accepting, open, or friendly to Christians. Seems to me that the world is failing to find positive and the best in others. All too often, greater attention is paid to a person's race, religion, sexual, or social views. We cannot possibly survive if we're going to continue to see every contrary view as a battleground to be fought and conquered. We must realize that the distribution of gifts on this earth is certainly not equal. Just as it was described in Jesus' parable of the vineyard in Matthew 20, where the employer chooses to pay each worker an equal wage at the end of the day, even though they all work differing hours. We seem to take for granted the gifts and the successes afforded us. Now we need to ask ourselves a few questions. Are we being good stewards? Do we simply covet the items and gifts we have? Do we relish in the status symbols and desire even more? Do we make use of our gifts to serve those in need and those less fortunate than ourselves? If we do share our gifts, do we practice humility? Do we look for accolades or a pat on the back? Do we believe that God has given us an express ticket to heaven? The purpose in these questions is not to cause guilt, but to cause introspection and ask, where has our Christian faith led us? Have we been led to action? Have we become passive and uncaring? Have we forgotten that our salvation is by the grace given to us as a gift from our Lord and Savior? By his death on the cross. By our own accord, we are incapable of being the people we are called to be. But if we fix our faith on the Father, his Son, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit, we might just find ourselves seeking to heal, love, and cherish one another rather than focusing on our differences. Now, with these thoughts and stresses of today's world, let me leave you with these comforting words from our Savior, from John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen.
Amen.
Wow.
Thank you very
Scott.
Much, Scott.
That leaves a whole lot to think about.
Yep.
Much.
That was...
Yeah. Very good.
I have often told Don after his sermons whether or not I'm in that atmosphere of what he's trying to get across. And I think this one hit the... nail on the head, hit the bullseye.
When God slaps you in the face, you listen.
Yeah.
Yes. I can only hope and pray that that there are times when this church, the statements that we make as a church, can reawaken and revive those that are out in the world. Sorry, Don, I just had to give a little commentary there.
Oh, no, you don't have to be sorry about explaining and going on with the Word of God. One of the books that read in Indianapolis, the Lutheran clergy, was a book called Arousing the Sleeping Giant. Mm-hmm. And it talked about the Christian community waking up out of its doldrums and passivity and smugness and self-servingness and become the giant that God wants us to be in this world, being leaders, not being dragged along for any campaign that's out there in the media, but the ones who stand on the Word of God with evidence of God behind us. Yeah. We are the church. Mm-hmm. We are God's people. Okay, so our hymn of the day, so appropriate. I need thee every hour. We need you.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford.
Old-time hymns. I was just thinking, never came to me before. Isn't it a paradox that when we need God the most, God is there, and we cry to God because we know He hears and God responds. When we think we don't need God, oh, we're in trouble now. That's when we need Him, because obviously we think we're floating on our own. I look at postings on Facebook and I see people all enjoying all the things around them and the families and all that. It's easy to give thanks to God when everything's going your way, but it's tough to give God praise and glory and adoration, worthy of praise in the bad times. So too, we should in those good times realize it all sourced from God. We need him every hour, not just when we think it. We affirm that faith we know in our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to us in our transgressions, remedied us from the enemy of death, promised to us resurrection, won through his life-giving death. We affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Called into unity with one another and the whole creation, let us pray for our shared world. God of compassion, encourage our relationships with our siblings in Christ. Bless our conversations. Shape our shared future and give us hearts eager to join in a festival, a festival shout of praise. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of abundance, you make your creation thrive and grow to provide all that we need. Inspire us to care for our environment and atone to where the earth is crying out. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of mercy, your grace is poured out for all. Inspire authorities, judges, and politicians to act with compassion. Teach us to overcome fear with hope, meet hate with love, and welcome one another as we would welcome you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of care, accompany all who are in the deepest need. Comfort those who are sick, lonely, and abandoned. Strengthen those who are in prison or awaiting trial. Renew the spirits of all who call upon you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of community, we give thanks for this congregation. Give passion to embrace your mission and the vision, to recognize where you are leading us. Teach us how to live more faithfully with each other. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of love, you gather in your embrace with all who have died. Keep us steadfast in our faith and renew our trust in your promise. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Gracious God, we also remember in our prayers those with heavy hearts as the death count continues to grow with COVID, all the families and lives affected. And during this past week, one from the fellowship of this family of our Savior, Mike Guernsey, passed away, as the obituary indicated, after celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary, he and Barb, the beginning of the month, passed away this last week. Give grace, peace, and comfort and hope, dear Lord, to Mike's family. But we also pray for those who are ill. A week ago, Joe Coldheart had a fall. In that fall, taking his dog out for a walk, he broke his hip. That hip needed surgery. He had surgery at Port Huron Hospital. Elvira, the wife, she has been by his side this whole time, from driving him to the emergency room on that Saturday a week ago, to be in there for his surgery this past week. And now this past week, he has moved from Port Huron Hospital to Regency, where he will, for the next several weeks, will go through therapy and recovery that he can return back to his home. Our prayers are with Joe, with Elvira in this separation. They've had many major medical crises these last few years. Many surgeries, and gracious God, take care of them. We also pray for Donna Taylor, who's going through more testing, unanswered questions, seeking to get answers medically, but also trusting you always. Gracious God, be with her, with those who love her, and sustain her with good news and guide her throughout her life's days to your glory. Gracious God, for all these, and we pray, receive these prayers. Sometimes our words are just too deep to be expressed verbally, but within our heart you know them. Receive them through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We continue in prayer as our Lord has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
At this time in the service, if we were in-house, we'd have an offering received, plates to be distributed. We're not sure, but we think we know that it'll be similar to what we do on Lenten services. We're not going to pass out plates because of COVID. They will be in the narthex, and you can place your gifts you have brought to that tray. Least amount of human contact, social distancing, and a change of behaviors one way's path, and spacing within the sanctuary. Reminder that this Tuesday at 7 o'clock, Church Council, all deacons, all trustees, all board and committee members, all officers are asked to attend this meeting, because this is the one we set for ourselves 3 weeks ago to make some decisions about opening or waiting to open up public worship here at Our Savior. You see, the church never closed. For those who think we closed, they're wrong. This church has been doing ministry every day of the week. And plus our allowing recovery, Blue Water Recovery, present in Our Savior, they have been doing tons of work with the recovery community of Port Huron. The work has not stopped. You may not be engaged in doing it, therefore you're released to do it on your own out there in the community. But you are a servant of the Lord God. Serve God with every one of your days. Now, along with that, in last week's e-letter, and you're going to see it in this week's e-letter, is the acknowledgement and setting of the date of September 13th as the ELCA Day of God's Work Our Hands. Many who have participated in events know the gold shirt that we wear, and it says Our Savior Lutheran on the back side. It's a witness to who we are as we go out and serve in this community. So, I ask members of this church to consider what project we would like to do on that Sunday, September 13th. Think about who's going to be in charge. Get together a committee or several committees to get the task done. If there's more than one task you want to do because it's small, then get two or three tasks done. But we will go in the name of Christ to this community, as we should do all the time, but in a concentrated way as well. September 13th, God's work, our hands. Don't be silent. Pray to the Lord. Seek God's will, that we can do what's pleasing in his sight in this town. Encourage you to remember the church. Our offerings are down for the last several weeks for what our needs are. Please be faithful in your stewardship life with financial resources. Also, sponsorship. We thank Bill and Kay Price, as I said at the beginning of the service, for their anniversary, which they enjoyed, but their sponsorship of the radio. Next week, Lois Langhoff has spoken up to sponsor our radio. The week of July 12th, Judy Avers and Tony Gaines will sponsor the broadcast. The week of July 19th, Ed and Bev O'Connor are sponsoring the broadcast. July 26th is open. Then August the 2nd, in memory of Donna and Roger's 60th anniversary, she's sponsoring it with him in absentia. August 23rd, she's sponsoring another one for thankfulness for her 82nd birthday. And then on September 13th, she's sponsoring it for Roger Taylor. And then October 4th, in memory of Roger Taylor's birthday. So she's gone to Slate. Anybody else, identify yourselves for your care and sponsorship radio. Lawn Care this week has been Jane and Jim Borntrager. And then next Sunday and following, Tony Gaines. And the week of July 12th will be Tony Gaines. Thank you, Tony. So all those things. Also in the e-letter, I ask parents to identify time when we will come together as confirmants, parents of youth 10 and above.
Soon.
You better believe it. We need to sit down and make decisions and set in motion for those who have stepped out for academic reasons. Now it's time to rejoin as one class and bring our numbers back up to 9 instead of 4 or 5. Yes. All the time, please. So be ready when we announce it. Suggest dates until we announce one. Okay? I believe that covers everything. So read and respond to other things in your e-letter. We continue with our offering hymn. Now thank we all our God, giving you the variation of organ, pipe organ music, beautiful. In our offering prayer.
God of goodness and growth, all creation is yours, and your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. Water and word, wine and bread, these are signs of your abundant grace. Nourish us through these gifts, that we might proclaim your steadfast love in our communities and in the world.
Through Jesus Christ, our strength and our song.
Amen.
Amen.
Our sending song is by a group that Scott and I personally share a liking, from Sela. They were in town 3 years ago at Colonial Woods.
He missed it. I saw it with hope. Yeah. It was an awesome concert.
It was really good.
Yeah. This selection is one we love. Precious Lord, take my hand.
Dear Lord, let it be.
As my Adventist brothers and sisters would say, amen.
Absolutely.
When I hear that, I can't help but the picture in my mind's eye is Christ with his arm around my shoulder, yes, guiding me down the path.
Absolutely.
So today's blessing, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God the Creator, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, bless you and keep you in eternal love.
Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God. Now we want you to hear the postlude so we have time. My country, 'tis of thee. And thank you, Scott, for being with us today. Certainly for the conditions of the world and for God's blessings. Everything with America is bad. There are many good things. But Lord, help us to make what is bad better by your grace.